This is it. Last night of our meeting. And while some of you may be happy to know that you won't have to hear my voice again, I'm pretty sad to see this week come to a close. I really have enjoyed being with you this week. It was a great opportunity, and I appreciate each and every night that I was here to preach God's Word to you this week. I'd like to thank the Owens for having Megan and me over to Applebee's this afternoon, and it was, like every night this week, good to spend time with each other and to have a good conversation over a very good meal. And I will indeed miss all of you. I know I will see most of you again on Sunday nights usually, but I really am grateful for this opportunity. A song we sang just now, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, was a favorite of my brothers, at least, growing up. And the message in that song is something that we all need to take to heart. It challenges us to be as Joshua was. Take the stand for God that he did. Have the courage to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, despite all of the different people who will tell us not to, or will challenge us not to. And as we leave here tonight, as we draw this week to a close, I want to issue a very similar challenge to all of us here today, not just you in the audience, but to me as well. I dare us to be a Daniel. The PowerPoint, again, is not working, just like it wasn't last night. Okay. There we go. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be as Daniel was. Behave as he was. And we all know the story of Daniel. He was taken from his people, from a land where he knew, to a nation that was not God's people, did not revere God as he did. And from Daniel's examples, from all the things that he teaches us in his book, and if you want to go ahead, turn over to the book of Daniel. We'll be spending most of our time in that book today, tonight. Daniel gives us many examples of how we are to be, were we in a very similar situation. And not just if we were in that type of situation, but in everyday life. Lessons that we as Christians need to take and apply to our everyday lives as every chance we get. So my challenge for us today is going to be just as Daniel was. First thing we need to know, understand about Daniel was, he was a man of preeminence. He stood out compared to everybody else in his nation, compared to the people in whose land he was in. Daniel stood out in many different ways. Among the children of Israel, he was unique. The king of Babylon wanted him in his courts. You go over to Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is when Nebuchadnezzar is going throughout the land after he's conquered some of it and saying, pick for me the best of these people. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, if that's how you pronounce his name, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge and understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. And we know from further on in this chapter that Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were amongst these people that King Nebuchadnezzar chose to take into his court. And we can see from these two verses alone a little bit into who Daniel was, into Daniel's character. First off, Daniel had no blemish. Physically, he looked impressive. He stood out from the children of Israel. He had no blemish. He had no physical imperfections. He had nothing that would prevent him from not being able to do his job, what the king expected of him to have. He looked impressive. He looked as like someone who would be in the courts of a king. He stood out physically. In other words, he was not frail. He had no physical infirmities that prevented him from carrying out the duties that the king would have him to do. He was not physically weak. And also, he wasn't ugly. He was handsome in appearance. Daniel stood out amongst the people, children of Israel. But what the main thing is I want us to notice here is Daniel was also intelligent. Daniel had the ability to think things through. Daniel stood out in ways that many of the other children of Israel did not. He was able to take those things that the king wanted him to learn and understand those things. He had a good mind. He could think things through. He could put into practice those things which he had learned. And this would include many different things that would be difficult to learn. First off, a whole new language. The Chaldeans probably didn't speak Hebrew. Or Daniel himself probably didn't speak the language of the Chaldeans at that point. Going into this new nation, going into this land where he was a foreigner, he would have to learn the new language. And if any of us have studied a language which, prior to our studies, never had learned before, that's not an easy task. And some languages are completely different from the one we speak. Learning another language is not an easy thing to do. But Daniel had to go through that type of study. Daniel had to make the effort to learn a new language. Daniel would have also had to learn the laws of the kingdom. In order to be a good advisor to the king, he would have to know what the law states. In order to be a good citizen of the kingdom, he would have to know what the law was. Daniel would have to sit down and learn the law of the land he was in. He would also have to understand what his duties were, what he would have to do as part of the king's court. He would have to understand the customs of the land he was in, what was acceptable, what was expected of him. And also, he'd have to learn the religion. We'll get into this later on. But Daniel would have to learn a whole new religion, understand what went into their practices, understand what they did in worship to their gods. He had to learn many new things in his work, in his job as a advisor to the king. And it wouldn't be an easy task. Daniel was picked out because he showed himself to be intelligent. And even when he went among the Babylonians, Daniel stood out. We see this in Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. If you would turn over there for just a moment. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in the 17th verse. As for these four young men, and this is meaning Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it said, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Daniel and his three friends stood out. They were seen to be better than everybody else around them. They had a better understanding than most of the people around them. The king was so impressed with them. It says they were 10 times better. Intellectually, they stood out compared to all the other wise men surrounding them. But most people, when they get this type of praise, when someone appreciates their efforts, most people will take it upon themselves and praise themselves, gain pride from this type of thing, and see themselves as somebody great because of how other people see them. But that was not the attitude of Daniel and his three friends. Instead, he gave the credit to God. He praised God for what God was for the position he now was in. We see this in the second chapter of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 19, beginning. And this is after Daniel and his three friends are in danger of being killed because no one can interpret the vision King Nebuchadnezzar had. And God reveals to him the vision. Begin in verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with them. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You gave me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel gives praise to the God of his fathers, to the God he worshipped, for everything that God was doing for them, for all of the wisdom that they had, the ability to interpret these dreams. He gave God the credit. He didn't take praise for himself. He didn't take pride from this. He gave God the credit which God was due. God gave him these abilities, and he never forgot where they came from. And in this wisdom that he had, And this wisdom that Daniel had, he was also had great discernment. He was able to determine, or in other words, he was able to think critically. He could think things through, figure things out on his own. Something that good teachers in schools and anywhere try to get their students to learn. To have critical thinking skills. Daniel had that. He was able to think things through. And because of this ability, he was also able to determine the difference between the religion of his God and the religion of the Babylonians. He was able to determine what was right and what was wrong. He was able to stick true to what he was raised in. Daniel could understand the religion of the Chaldeans. He could understand that this was not the way God was to be worshipped, that these were false gods. Something that we need to be having in our own lives. We need to think things through. Just this past Wednesday at Logan's with the Stricklands, Brother John was talking to me about people need to be able to think. People need to think things through. And even when I was growing up here, he told me those very same things. We as Christians need to be able to think things through. Be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Handle the scriptures in such a way that we can understand when somebody tells us this is right, but if it doesn't hold up to the scriptures, our standard, then we have to know to avoid it at all costs. We have to know the difference between right and wrong. As I've already said, we need the intelligence. We need this type of intelligence to interact with the world the way God wants us to. And unless God is part of our lives, if we don't put Him in our lives, we will be corrupted by everything around us. We will fall away and join in with the world, join in with sin, join in with Satan. God has to be a part of who we are. We have to be able to determine right from wrong. And with this intelligence that Daniel had, Daniel became a man of purpose. Daniel had a purpose, had a goal, as he went through his time with the Chaldeans, and even the Persians later on. We see this in the first chapter of Daniel, verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart. And to the younger people in the audience today, Daniel wasn't much older than we are now. But yet he determined in his heart to follow after God. He determined that he was going to stay true to what he was raised in, to what he knew to be the right things to do. He decided he was not going to defile himself with the meat at the king's table, the food that was presented before him. And there were probably many different reasons for why he didn't want to do this. For all we know, this meat or this food was offered up to idols. And in Daniel's mind, he would be honoring those idols, honoring those gods, those false gods. He would not eat these foods. He refused to. And also, these could have also been unclean animals to eat, things that the Jews were to abstain from. And Daniel, purposing in his heart to follow after God, decided, I am not going to defile myself. I am not going to eat these foods. I'm going to stay true to what God has told us to do. And we see from the rest of the chapter that he did keep to his heart. He did keep to his purpose, his goal to serve God. Daniel was a man of purpose. And we as Christians, we need this type of mentality in ourselves as well. When we become Christians, we can't just suddenly say, I'm a Christian and I can just go about my life and live it the way I want to now. We have to determine, make a covenant with our eyes as Job did in some cases, but purpose in our hearts to follow after God the entirety of our lives. Not just think about becoming a Christian, everything's going to be easy, because it's not. We have to make an agreement with ourselves, a covenant with ourselves. We are going to abstain from the ways of the world, from the sinful acts that the world participates in. But many Christians do not have this sort of purpose in their hearts. And they will find what they call rational reasons. I should have put quotes around here on the board. But what they call rational reasons for participating in the ways of the world. They'll say, I can take just one drink at the party. Just one drink won't hurt. I can smoke one cigarette. It won't hurt me. They do it to fit in. They'll do it because, well, if I don't do this, I'll lose my position at work. Or my friends will ridicule me. Or they'll turn their backs on me. These rational reasons for committing sinful acts. Or committing things that will lead them towards sin. But what they don't realize is that once we start on one act of sin, it opens a floodgate, in other words, metaphorically. It opens a floodgate, and we keep going farther and farther and farther and farther until there's no way back, or we lose our way entirely. We can't so much as that one inch, give one inch to sin. We have to keep that floodgate closed, keep our hearts pure and away from sin at all costs. And this type of purpose that Daniel had and that we should have, it comes from a deep conviction in who God is. We realize who God is and what He's done for us, and have faith that He will keep the promises He gives to us, and also a complete commitment to Him. We have determined we are going to follow Him, stay on His side throughout all of life's hurdles, throughout everything life comes at us. In order to have the purpose Daniel had, we have to be convicted in God. We have to be committed to God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. When we are baptized, when we put off the old man, we have to completely forget everything that we've put behind us. Say, that's no longer part of who we are. Ignore those things which we put off and strive for what lies ahead, something that is much better than anything we could have ever hoped for in this life. Forget the old way of sin. It's nothing. It's meaningless. And strive for what's better. Strive for what's ahead. Never forget what lies ahead. Strive for heaven. Strive for the reward. That's why we were baptized in the first place. It was for that reward. But how many Christians, in the struggles of this life, forget that promise? Forget that reward? We have to always keep that in our hearts. Make the commitment. Make the effort. Do everything we can to keep going toward heaven. I think I got my notes all mixed up here. Daniel was also a man of principle. Daniel refused, absolutely refused, ever to compromise his principles. Whenever sin was presented to him, he didn't suddenly say, oh, okay, I can do whatever I want now. Daniel refused to give up on his principles. And we see him do this multiple times throughout the book of Daniel. Multiple times he didn't compromise his faith. Again, going back to the example with refusing to eat the king's food. There would be tons of pressure on him to eat of those foods. Tons of pressure. The fear of getting punished for refusing to do what he was told. The peer pressure from those around him. The pressure from the one in charge of him. The one who was teaching him, training him. He would have had tons of pressure to do so. But yet, he refused to do so. When he refused the gifts of Belshazzar, in chapter 5 and verse 13, he did it to show that he had no interest in earthly gain. No interest in what the world had to offer. That there was something better he was striving for. Something better out there for him. To show that his mind wasn't on the world. Wasn't on what the world had to offer him. And when we really think about it, most men in high positions, you think of politics, people in the business world, they compromise their beliefs. They compromise their principles daily to get what they want. As we talked about a couple nights ago, politicians are known for lying. They compromise their principles of telling the truth to get the position of power that they want. Businessmen will lie and cheat to get the position in their business that they want, to get to CEO or whatever the position may be, to get that raise. But we as Christians cannot be that way. We cannot compromise our principles. True men of God, true women of God, stand for truth in all ways. They always stand for what they believe in. You look at Samuel, who took on King Saul, who didn't compromise his faith. Paul never compromised his faith. And Peter, none of these people ever compromised what they believed in. They knew who God was. They understood who God was. And they never turned away from Him, even when there was pressure to do so. None of them ever did. Daniel was a man of principle. And then he also refused to obey the king's decree in chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We won't take the time to read that story. Most of us grew up knowing that story, Daniel in the lion's den. But there were jealous men who sought for a way to bring Daniel down. They were jealous of his power. They were jealous of the praise he got from the king. And as they were the types of people that would compromise their principles for what they wanted, going to the point of trying to murder an individual. And they convinced the king, Darius, they convinced him to make a decree that only he was the one the people could pray to. It was only to him the people could offer worship. And the punishment would have been the lion's den. We all know the story. But what did Daniel do? Daniel refused to do it and still continued in his customary prayers. Daniel still decided, I am going to pray to God. God is the only one I can worship. And yes, he was thrown into that lion's den. But God was with him because he stayed true, because he didn't compromise his principles. Daniel was a man of principle. And Daniel also understood that God's law, it trumps everything else. No matter what man may decree, in our day and age, this would be the equivalent of saying homosexuality is okay, abortion is okay. No matter what man may say, no matter what man may determine, if it goes against God's law, we as God's children obey that law first. And no matter how much it may get us into trouble with the world around us, it won't get us into trouble with God, who has power over both our body and our soul. Daniel understood this. We need to understand it. We need to be men and women of principle. Stand for the truth. Daniel also was a man of purity. In staying true, in having the principles, in being a man of purpose, Daniel showed himself to be true. His enemies, when they tried to find some legal way of getting him into trouble, they had nothing. There were no scandals against Daniel. Daniel obeyed the law. Daniel kept true to being a child of God and staying true to what the law told him to do. In other words, Daniel was an incorruptible politician, one of the few ever in history. Daniel had great power in the kingdom of the Persians, but nobody could find any reason for him to get in trouble legally by the law. And despite being surrounded by sinful influences, Daniel was a pure individual in God's eyes. He never did anything that the rest of the Chaldeans or the Persians would have counted acceptable, that were in fact sin. Daniel abstained from those kind of things. He was true. He told the truth. He didn't take bribes. He didn't corrupt justice for his own agendas. He obeyed the law to the utmost, both God's and man's, as much as he could. And Daniel was holy. He was different. He stood out. People recognized this in him. The kings of both Babylon and Persia, they appreciated him. They recognized his differences. They loved him, Darius especially. Daniel was a man of purity, and others recognized that in him and appreciated it in him. Those of us at work who stand out amongst our employees, our fellow employees, and our bosses recognize that we do the work, that we tell the truth, that we are people that they can count on. We're emulating Daniel here. We're being as Daniel was, not corrupting our own principles for whatever gain we may get. Daniel was a man of purity. And there is no time ever where it is necessary or okay for a Christian to behave like the world. There is none at all. Many Christians want to behave like the world, want to be like the world, because they get a better standing in the world's eyes, a better social status. But there's never a time where it is necessary or okay. Daniel was also a man of prayer. And this we all know from Daniel chapter 6. He had a daily custom of praying 3 times a day. Daniel loved praying, I would even say. He valued talking to his God so much that he made the effort every single day to pray to God. We talked about this last night, but how often do we make those types of efforts? How often do we have that desire to go to pray to God? We need to have that type of attitude. And we can even see the type of attitude he had, the mindset he had in his prayers to God. First off, he kneeled. He kneeled down before his father, which showed humility. That despite all the power and the position he had in the kingdoms of men, he recognized and remembered there is always someone greater than himself. When we pray to God, do we realize who we're praying to? Do we realize that this is an all-powerful being that has decided that we're worth listening to? I don't think we always fathom that or even think about that. We take for granted our avenue with the Father. We take for granted the fact that we can talk to him. But Daniel always kneeled. He showed the proper humility, the proper mindset to God. He even fasted and wore sackcloth and sat in ashes. We see this in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, showing that he put thought and heart into his prayers. He thought these things through. When he recognized the need to pray every single time. And they were not, even though he had a custom, they were not just that to him. He realized the importance of prayer and realized what it could do. When he was upset, as we see when wearing sackcloth, fasting, and sitting in ashes, when he was upset, he knew where to go to. Instead of going to men for help, going to men to throw his sorrows before, it was to God. He put thought into his prayers. And we as Christians, we need to imitate that type of attitude. We need to have that type of mindset. We need to have the humility, and we need to put thought into our prayers. And pray often. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, 18. We looked at this passage last night. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As I said last night, we need to pray to God no matter what the circumstance may be. Things are going good for you. Pray to God, offering him thanks for the opportunities, for the comforts that we have. Things are going hard for us, pray to God again. Ask him to help us through these times, that we remain strong, that we remain true, that we don't start blaming God for our problems, as many people would do. Pray to God in all circumstances. And then you go over to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. When we pray to God, when we pray to him often, it can help us also be watchful. We can ask him to help us prepare for those times when temptation comes upon us. When things might get hard, when things are easy, that's why we need to pray to God, is to prepare ourselves for when things get hard. Because things are not always going to be easy. Financially, we may lose all our money. When it comes to our possessions, we may lose all of it. At any time, for any reason. We need to have God on our side and make sure that we are prepared for those situations. That we put our trust where we need to put our trust. Instead of in the things of this world, instead of what we think we can trust in, put our faith in who we know we can trust in. God. And pray no matter what happens. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray no matter what. No matter what the situation may be. But Daniel was also a man of power. We've already seen that. He had position. He had authority. Daniel had very high positions of power. It wasn't just a simple, small political position. He had high positions of power. Under Nebuchadnezzar, he was the chief governor and the greatest of all the wise men. We see this in Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49. Daniel was the chief of them, a high position of power. Under Darius, he was the high official over 120 satraps and the highest official in the entire kingdom. The first three verses of Daniel chapter 6. Daniel had a very high position of power. And he kept these positions despite, or I would even say because of, his faith in God. A lot of people nowadays in our country probably lose their position of power because of their faith in God. It would cause them to lose it. But Daniel kept it. And I would say that was because God was with him. God looked out for him. And despite him never compromising his principles, despite all the political, social pressures to do so, he still kept his power. He didn't have to compromise. When he should have been killed by lions for disobeying the law, God protected him. God was with him. God saved him. And saved him his position. God was with him always. And in conclusion, we need to have the same attitude that Daniel has. And the secret to all of his success was that he had his faith in God and God was with him. God helped Daniel to understand. Chapter 8, verses 18 through 19. God gave Daniel many talents. Chapter 9, verses 21 through 22. God gave Daniel strength to stand. Strength to stand against the many different trials he would have to face. The many different complications with being with it in his job. The persecution that he faced in Daniel chapter 6. God gave him that strength. God gave him the will and wisdom to speak the right things, to know the correct things to say, to understand everything that he had to understand. God made him strong. God made Daniel the man he was today. He was then, I should say. He's not alive today. And God gave him the spirit to excel in what he strived to excel in. This spirit was one that had self-control. Daniel could control himself. He wasn't a slave to his base urges. When he saw something was wrong, even if he wanted to do it, he had enough self-control to resist those urges. It was one for both respect for both God and for mankind. Daniel respected the kings, or at least the authority that they held, and obeyed them. He obeyed the laws as long as it didn't interfere with God's. And we know he respected God. Nobody else held his respect more than God did. And it was a spirit that absolutely trusted in God. We see this primarily in Daniel chapter 6. That despite the chance that he was going to die, he knew that God had the power to protect him. And we know from the story that God did, that his faith was not unfounded. It was because of this faith, it was because of this trust in God, that Daniel was who he was. And we need to take the examples from Daniel and be like that as best we can. And we will be noticed for how we behave. Daniel was definitely noticed. We are going to stand out. We can't go through life, if we're living the life of a Christian, we can't go through life under the radar, as the saying goes. We're going to be noticed. We will stick out. We will be different. People are going to ask us why we behave the way we do, if we're living the life God wants us to live. And my challenge to all of us here tonight, be as Daniel was. Be men and women of purpose. Be men and women of preeminence. Stand out. Think things through. Don't just go through life accepting whatever anybody teaches us. Think things through. Purpose in our hearts to serve God and Him only. Be men and women of principle. Never let the world get in the way of what we believe in. Pray to God constantly. And if we do get to positions of power, whether it be politically or in a business, or even parents with children, when we have authority over our kids, don't let that power go to our head. Don't let our desire for it get in the way of doing what is right. And we will be like Daniel was. What should have been the theme for this whole week, once God is in the equation, everything else comes together. Once God is in the equation, we will be living our life the way He wants us to, and He will be watching out for us. He will do what's best for you and me. And to those here tonight who may not be Christians, do you want to take up the challenge? Do you want to be like Daniel? Serve God faithfully. Do what He expects of us. And if the answer is yes, there's no better opportunity than now to be baptized into His kingdom, to follow Him faithfully for the rest of your life. And to those of us who are Christians, have we tried to emulate Daniel? Or have we fallen short? Have we gone back into sin? Have we compromised our principles? And the answer to that is yes. Then we need to make correction before it's too late for us as well. But if you need our help in either regard, whether to be baptized or need to make confession of your sins tonight, we ask that you make those sins known to us as we stand and sing this song for your encouragement.